This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
All right. Good Tuesday morning, Jeremy and Joe. NFL free agency negotiating window remains open. Deals can become official tomorrow. So get ready to see officially official with players with pens in hand. Josh Palmer and Michael Hoyt added to the Bills so far. We'll see if anybody else gets added today. And if they agree to terms with anybody new today or who leaves. Of course, free agents that could hit the open market and go sign with another team. It is an exciting time.
And we'll see if anyone goes back on their word. Well, that's usually pretty rare.
Well,
but
I mean,
it's happened.
You have plenty of players saying, I'd like this, I'd like this, I'd like this, and then they sign somewhere else.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
On the Western Hotline is, speaking of contract extensions, is Jason Zucker of the Buffalo Sabres, who recently signed an extension. Jason, it's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time this morning.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
First off, congratulations on the extension. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like, you come here on a one-year deal, and Sabres fans probably know you from around the league and wonder what it's going to go like, how it's going to go. You know, your impressions coming in when you signed here, I guess what was it that brought you to it, and you liked it enough to stay for a couple more years?
Yeah, I think you know, you go through phases of your career, of course, but I think for me, it was exciting to, you know, I didn't know where I was going to slot in the lineup. I didn't know any of that, but seeing the young talent that was on this team was very enticing. You know, the top nine, everybody that they had throughout that top nine, getting Ryan McLeod, you know, from Tomer to Tucky and all the way down. I mean, there's a ton of talent. So I knew I was going to be playing with some great players. And, you know, that was a big piece. You know, I think it's been a fun challenge for me, you know, being the old guy and trying to help in that realm. But it's been a lot of fun on the ice.
Has the season gone for you personally how you would have hoped? The numbers are certainly there. I know team-wise you wouldn't say yes, but at least offensively it feels like you're putting up numbers that you would have even a few years ago.
Yeah, you know, individual success is always nice, but it you know, truthfully, would be nowhere without my line mates and the guys that have been, you know, pushing me forward. And it's been fun to play with everybody. I mean, obviously, again, individual success is always nice, but you know, we didn't hit the goals that we wanted as far as the team, and that's been disappointing. But I do think, you know, I've said this a few times now, you know, I do think that we've made strides as a team and as an organization. I think obviously there's still you know, a long way to go, and we'll address that this off season and try to get back after it. But I think there were definitely some strides taken for sure.
To that point, Jason, I feel like, you know, Sabres fans would acknowledge, and I think anybody would acknowledge, this organization has right now what might feel like baggage to carry because of a drought, because of what's happened long before you got here. When you mm-hmm. come into a room that has that, maybe sometimes with some of the players, as a fresh voice, a fresh face, you feel like, and especially as a veteran such as you are, like, do you feel like you can be someone that helps shed that for the guys that might be carrying it?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's always tough, right? And we absolutely understand the fan base, the frustration, you know, wanting to be in the playoffs. You know, we want it more than anybody else in the city does. And so it's frustrating when you go through these times, when you go through a 13-game losing streak and you can't figure it out. But, you know, it is always nice to have a fresh voice. It's always nice to change up the room a little bit. It's a tough part of the business because you never want to lose your friends and your teammates and that. And, you know, I heard nothing but amazing things about Okposo and Gergensen's and Skinner and that kind of leadership group that they had before. But sometimes it's just the way it works. You need to try something new, and that's not a knock on those guys. It's just the way the room works. That's why coaches get fired. That's why players get traded. Things obviously aren't working, but ultimately there's only one team happy at the end of the year. And, everyone else is trying to fix their team and grow and get better and be ready for the following year.
So you spoke on, like, kind of the young talent that kind of drew you here. So you've obviously seen enough from that to stick around for two more years. What would you say then is the thing that the group together needs to do to kind of realize that potential then from the talent? And you see some of what the highlights of what the team can do, 8-2 out of the Four Nations break against the Rangers, to then put that together for a full season.
Yeah, I mean, those games are pretty unrealistic to think that you're going to pull off more than, you know, you get one of those a year, maybe two, where you're going to put up eight on somebody. Every team is so good now, it's nearly impossible to do that on a normal basis. But regardless, you know, for me, I think it's learning how to win, and learning how to win is just all the little things of knowing when you can go try a play, you know, through the middle, knowing who you're on the ice against, if that's a smart idea or not. The turnovers, the little plays that give the other team a little bit of life. I think we've done that too much this year. When you look at our, the 4-0 game versus Colorado, actually both games against Colorado, you look at some of the games that we've blown leads, was, a lot of it was handing the other team chances and giving them a little bit of life and making it tougher on ourselves. So I think we're that's one of the biggest learning curves for us, is just learning how to win in those aspects of the game. It's not, it's not the skill anymore. We had the skill. We know how to use it. It's just a matter of learning all the rest of the aspects of the game to help us win games.
On a micro level, do you feel like that? How'd that go last night? Your first night back in the lineup, and they just put you right out there against the McDavid line a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's always fun, just chasing him around the ice. You know, chasing a 9-7 around, but he's obviously a special talent. It's impossible to stop him. You're just going to try to maintain him as much as you can, and try to push him to the outside. I thought we did a pretty good job of that. He's going to get his chances. Dreisaitl's going to get his chances, especially on that power play. It's lethal. But I thought our penalty kill was incredible. I thought Upi was our best player all night. And then obviously Tomer and Norris had a great night between the two of them. And it was nice to get those goals and get that win. So for us, it was a good step. And we're going to try to use this last 20 games to kind of build and feel good going into summer. And then, we're going to regroup and get back after it.
That game also, McLeod, who's been, I looked up by a slight margin, your most common line mate on the season. What makes him so good defensively? Because I think some have been pleasantly surprised by his offensive game this year, but when he was brought here, it was a lot about his defensive ability, and there are not many that can skate with McDavid in the league, but it felt like there were a lot of shifts last night where he could keep with him the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice that, so first of all, Clouder is an unbelievable player. He's so fast. His skating is unlike anyone else that I've seen. He just flies. He just floats around on the ice. It's pretty incredible to watch. So I think that's a huge attribute for him. I think he's a smart player, and I think he's got the skill set to be able to play that offensive game too. But as far as the defense goes, it's really tough to get off and to get someone that skates that well. You know, that's why you look at some of our decor. It's with how well they skate. You know, they're able to play a little bit more offense and play the game a little bit differently because they can get back so well. But as far as Clouder, I think on, you know, last night it was impressive watching him. I'm sure that there's a certain aspect of playing with McDavid the last few years. He knows some of his tendencies and things of that sort, but you know, he did a heck of a job, and Tucky and I were just trying to make sure we did our part on that line and shut him down as best we could.
Jason Zucker with us on the Western Hotline. One of the deficiencies that has kind of sinked the team at times this year has been the power play, Jason. And you've got 9 goals on the power play this year, but for the whole group overall, what do you think the right answer or angle is to improving that? And I wonder even just what Josh Norris maybe could do for that, because he scored a lot of power play goals in Ottawa. And I don't know, like, this could change, but in a very generic sense, it feels like having him on a one-timer opposite of Tage could only help.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not going to hurt. You know, I think for us, and a lot of teams really that struggle in the power play, power plays typically for your best players you feel like are time to make plays. When realistically, I think a lot of the best power plays have a simplicity factor to them. I think when you look at the Tampa Bays of the world, when you look at Colorado, they're shooting a lot of pucks. They're moving to get somebody open to shoot a puck. It's not trying to make seam passes, you know, every single play, every time you touch the puck. It doesn't need to look fancy and end up on SportsCenter. You have an extra guy, you need to just, you know, create little two-on-ones, pull guys out of their positions on the PK and you know, try to attack. It makes it really tough when we're shooting pucks. And I think early in the year, we had a ton of success just shooting pucks, getting rebounds and making plays from there. Because once the penalty kill gets broken down, you have a heck of a lot better of a chance of scoring. You know, and I think we found success in and out, you know, up and down throughout the year, but it hasn't been consistent enough. And it's something that we definitely need to address. But my personal opinion is it's a lot about just keeping it simple and getting pucks to the net, using that extra advantage and just crash the net and you know, get some of the dirty goals around the crease.
Jason Zucker on the Western Hotline. He just signed a 2-year extension with the Sabres after this year. It's gone pretty well for him. You know, Jason, I was looking at just, you know, your rundown of where you've been. A lot of time in Pittsburgh and then a couple years on the move. Was that part of what was important for you to stay put, to finally, you know, relax, stop moving a little bit, because you had a little bit of a tumultuous year or two?
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. It's a little bit frustrating when you're bouncing around, but you know, ultimately, you know, it wasn't a great fit for me in Arizona, and they wanted to move on. And you know, and then going to Nashville is, you know, it was nice to get back in the playoffs there and have a chance to just play some playoff hockey. But it was definitely a factor for me. But I think it was probably one of the smaller factors, to be honest. For me, I'm not going to make a decision just because I don't want to bounce around. I'm going to make one based on, you know, almost, you know, more of the facts of the situation. I think for me, I think it's been a good fit on the ice and off the ice. You know, the guys in the room have been great and welcomed me and you know, been great teammates and friends for me. I think the coaching staff is doing a great job. So I think when you look at the entire aspect of the organization, it's something that I felt that I wanted to be a part of for the next few years.
How much of that is the comfort with the organization, and two, then also the area, the first time living here?
Yeah, for sure. It's honest. It's treated me very well. You know, I've been fortunate. Everyone here in Buffalo has welcomed me and been extremely friendly, extremely helpful. You know, you can just see how hungry this fan base is for a playoff team. So, you know, it's exciting to have that. And, you know, I don't blame them one bit for being frustrated with the season we're having, but also the last few years and that aspect. So we're gonna do everything we can to get back to the playoffs and make this this fan base proud to come watch us play.
And finally, Jason, before we let you go, every time we have a hockey guest I want to ask, are you taking in what Ovechkin is doing? Are you tracking it night to night? We asked Lindy about him, in your experience playing against him, just like what is happening and this record that it would seem inevitably is going to fall as he becomes the all-time goal scorer in the league.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to watch. For me, early in my career, obviously him and Sid were on another level, and it was fun watching them and playing against them, or not fun to play against them, but it was a good experience to play against them, I'll say. I think every game in Minnesota, Ovechkin had a hat trick. In all three of them were from his spot. It was just inevitable. We used to give Devin Dubnyk a ton of support because it was just like he... literally every game was just three one-timers bar down. There was nothing he could do about it. And he's just that good. So I have been following it. It's been really fun to see. And I think for all of us, we're lucky to say that we've played against him and in the same league as him. And at the time when he's breaking a record is pretty special. So it's definitely been a fun experience to see it. Not when he's scoring against you every night, but it's a special thing for sure.
Well, Jason, thanks again for the time. Congratulations on the extension, and best of luck going forward.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jason Zucker of the Buffalo Sabres. 2-year extension for him, just signed, so he's with the team for two more seasons. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Ovechkin, what's the number at now? It's 8?
8 from tying, 9 from breaking.
All right.
The record.
Very good.
No offside challenges, please. Coaches, send a memo. Send a memo right now. Every coach in the league, send a memo. No challenges.
Ryan in New Jersey is up. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the moves that we're making. If I were to tell you $88 million, you know what the significance of that is? The money that we're about to waste on that we've wasted on Curtis Samuel, that we're about to waste on Josh Palmer, and this new guy, Michael Hoyt, who I've never heard of. It's crazy to me how Bean keeps doing this year after year. Like, we sign Dawson Knox to a big deal, never use him, draft, Dalton, and, he doesn't really do anything. We got Curtis Samuel last year for $28 million, $8 million a year on the cap hit, which isn't something small, and we don't use him. We go get Josh Palmer. He's going to be like a... whatever that is, like $10 million or so on the cap hit. And again, why did we do this? We keep wasting money on these guys that we don't even have a plan for. And that adds up rather than, okay, Bean, you stink in rounds 1 through 2, and you're good at drafting 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th rounders, those guys that can just kind of plug in the lineup. Why not just go out and instead of spending this, marginal money that adds up that we keep wasting on these guys, go and get guys that are going to make impact and spend big dollars. Look at the Eagles. They pay their best players, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dickerson, Lane Johnson, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert. Those are the guys that they pay, and they give them big deals on their roster. The rest of the roster are guys that they just draft and plug in. But if you pay those core guys, that's what makes your team so good because those guys jump off the screen. We don't do that. We keep handing out these deals that are marginal contracts to these role player type guys that come to Buffalo and don't even do anything. I guarantee you Mac Hollins, Josh Palmer this year won't outproduce what Mac Hollins did last year. Curtis Samuel, hopefully he does something, but most likely not. Between those two deals, that's one receiver for $18 million a year. Make this make sense to me because it's absolutely insane. It's embarrassing, and it pisses me off because it's the reason why we're going to be stuck. Kansas City doesn't do this. The Eagles don't do this. Baltimore doesn't do this. We're the only team that continues to do this stupid stuff. I don't know if it's because it's so hard to get players to like come to Buffalo that we have to hand out these contracts to bring guys in. But to me, it doesn't feel that way. You have an MVP quarterback, a great city, a great stadium. I don't understand why this guy keeps on trying to screw this team over. It's unbelievable. And they keep running it back with these same strategies. Why not do something different? It doesn't work. Stop handing out these contracts to these guys that you have no plan for, you're not going to use, and all this wasted money continues to add up and add up and add up. Go get guys that are impact difference makers, pay them, and then, Bean, draft your backup tight end in the fifth round. Don't sign Knox to a huge deal if you're not going to use him, if you're going to replace him the following year. There's literally no point to have this guy on our team. Last year, there was no point to have Curtis Samuel on our team. We could have had a guy in the sixth round do the same thing that he did. There's now no point to have Josh Palmer. He's the great separator. Look at his numbers. Wow. He didn't do anything for the Chargers.
Twice as much as Matt Collins, though, who you said he's not going to outproduce.
He is not going to outproduce Matt Collins. Matt Collins last year was unbelievable for the Bills. Played almost every snap, insane at run blocks.
And had 300 yards.
right, fine. Josh Palmer won't outproduce him, I guarantee you, because tell me, who's better, Curtis Samuel or Josh Palmer?
I mean, they're different.
Last year you would have said Curtis Samuel. Doesn't matter. Last year you would have said Curtis Samuel. And what did he do? Nothing.
Right.
Because we don't know why we're bringing these guys in. Brandon Bean just doing his thing. Looking at some...
Let me interrupt you and just say, like, instead of just saying like everything they do is wrong, which, like, listen, I don't think every point you've made here is a bad one. I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. But the idea, like, the Chiefs and the Ravens don't do this. Don't do what? What did the Chiefs and the Ravens do that the Bills haven't?
KC pays their guys.
Who?
They pay
who?
Jones,
who?
They
Chris...
pay Patrick Mahomes. They pay. Kraft.
Hold on.
They also signed a middle of the road lineman.
Hold on.
Yesterday,
they paid Hall of Fame players. If the Bills had those, they would also pay their own. The concept that you're getting to is that the Bills are signing middle of the road free agents, which is not wrong. But it's not like they didn't. The Bills decided not to pay Chris Jones. So who is it that the Ravens and the Chiefs have? What do they do that the Bills didn't do?
Well, what I'm trying to say is, when it comes to these skill positions, right, we're clearly weak at D end. We're clearly weak at wide out.
Let's pause. They spent out the nose for defensive end. They draft like crazy for defensive end. They have poured endless assets into defensive end. They paid $120 million for Vaughn. Nothing about it is how it's hard to come here. What you're getting to is, by the way, Ryan, the league year starts tomorrow. Like, we are still at negotiating. They could go out and sign five guys today, and chances are you wouldn't be all that happy with the guys they signed because it's not a great free agency class. So you're going out and you're filling spots, and you're signing guys like Josh Palmer who really don't – there's really not any reason to get that upset about it. Who would you rather have instead? Hold on. You'd rather have a six-rounder instead? Go look at the Bills' sixth-round history of drafting a receiver. You're going to get a guy like – who's the kid they had from West Virginia for 5 minutes? Or Austin Prohl.
Marquez Stevenson.
Or Ray McCloud. Like, the idea that you just, don't pay that guy. Just get a sixth-round pick. That just doesn't work. That's not how that works. If you want them to get better players, I'm with you. I mean, I've been in this seat for 5 years saying, please, God, draft Brian Thomas. Please do something. Trade up for Neighbors. Trade up for Marvin Harrison. I want them to be more aggressive and get great players as well. But you got to acknowledge, it's not just as easy as getting one. That's another part of, like, the Diggs trade. When Diggs got traded, thank you for the phone call, Ryan. We're getting to a break. I don't think anything you said is out of bounds, really. I think there might have been a little bit of poetic freedom, poetic license on some of it. The Knox contract, yeah, it was bad the day they signed it, and they keep pushing it down, and he's here because they think he's valuable. Mac Hollins, he's a guy. I mean, if you're saying you think you can get bargain basement guys to put up results with Josh Allen, you're not wrong. We saw that last year, but I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with it. I don't think you're wrong. It's just, you don't just go out and find a number one receiver. As hard to do. The Bills traded Diggs, and within 5 minutes, people told me Curtis Samuel was going to be Diggs. Like, that's not how that works. No one should be expecting that to happen. Signing Curtis Samuel for $9 million a year is, let's see what this guy does. That is cheap money at receiver. That is not a big commitment. So, I don't know. If you want to phrase it or frame it as they've wasted $70 million on a collective 6 years of receivers, of which we've seen one of those years on a turf-toed Curtis Samuel, then I guess you could do that. But Palmer got a 3-year deal. Samuel's got 2 years left. I think they'll still probably try to get somebody better at receiver. I don't know. I'm over here thinking the Kincaid pick is still the biggest thing they did wrong. But that's just me. Because they're constantly doing everything except the big receiver thing. So I'm kind of with you on some stuff, and I'm kind of not with you on others, and I hope that made sense to respond in any way.
The thing I think was most wrong about that is that the other teams don't do it. They absolutely do.
Everybody does this.
The Chiefs signed yesterday an offensive tackle for 2 years, $30 million, that everyone immediately went from the Niners, Jalen Moore.
Yeah, he's not good.
Everyone's reaction was like, what did they just do?
Yeah.
This guy is mid at best. He is below average, and they gave him $15 million per year. The Chiefs do this all the time. And you know why the reason they don't actually get punished for it? You know why the reason these teams don't lose when they do make these signings? It's because he mentions $80 million for those three players. Okay, over 3 years. The cap over 3 years is $850 million.
Right, right.
$80 million of $850 million for three free agents is nothing.
I'm just begging everyone to never actually think about the money on a contract anybody ever signs. It's such a poison atmosphere. Oh, Adam Schefter reports this deal. 3 years, $100 million. It was negotiated by, Reed, Ryerson, Smithson, and Smithson Law Firm or whatever. Was the one from
the Greg Buck bit.
Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. These guys can give you exactly the names of the people that negotiated the deal, and the numbers they give you are a lie.
Right, Josh Palmer's cap hit this year.
I think it's 4 million.
4 million. So him and Samuel together, Samuel's is 8. So it's gonna be 12 million for the two of them, not 20 million. For
it might
the two
not be
them.
4. That might have been Michael Hoyt, who's 4.
But it's not gonna be much more than 4.
Just don't it is. Worry about the cap. What you said about the Eagles, everything about that was right. They pay their offensive stars and get the best players on offense, and they draft on defense, and then they let the defensive players walk. They just let Milton Williams walk, Josh Sweat walk, and Darius Slay. Boom. Three guys. Just draft some other ones and pay our studs on offense.
Right.
That's what I would do.
They did. This is where even the Eagles aren't. They're different in that way. They're not even totally different from the idea of, oh, these other teams don't pay middle-of-the-road free agents. Last year, the Eagles paid Zach Bond at linebacker. He was a middle-of-the-road linebacker addition. It just so happened that, he turned into an all-pro
this
year.
That he was awesome.
But he had not been an all-pro linebacker before this year. They just signed him to a three-year extension after having the best season of his career, which, by the way, is also proof that sometimes it does work. Yep. It might only be one of every 15 free agents you sign that happens to, but the Eagles signed Zach Bond at linebacker, and then he instantly got 10 times better, and they paid him.
I remember the day the Bills signed Beasley and Brown. There was a tweet that went out there from some NFL person that said, this is how bad teams stay bad. And those guys turned into pretty nice pieces.
Right.
So, anyway.
Some good points, but I think some of it went too far.
Either way, thanks for the call. I think it's a great call. You get us going. You get some good stuff in there. I appreciate it. Appreciate the call. And don't agree on everything, but, I'd be banging down the doors for the best players possible because that's always what I want is
another,
the blue chippers.
Another defensive tackle off the board, Javon Hargrave to the Vikings.
The Vikings just added 2.
Right. Oh, right, because they got Jonathan Allen earlier in the day.
Yes. All right, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for the phone call, Ryan, for setting us off a little bit. We'll get more of your calls if you want here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. Like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sanderson, Stützle, ball of factory, broken stick along the boards now. Stützle to the bench. Here's a chance. Sanderson outside. They score! It's a power play goal. Dylan Cousins with his first as an Ottawa Senator.
Cousins, the game winner, Allmark. The win in net. The Ottawa Senators are having the kind of season the Sabres and we would love to have. Joining us on the Western Hotline from TSN 1200 in Ottawa, AJ Jakubek, who go on their station sometimes talking Sabres, and the Sens are looking good, and Dylan Cousins scored a big goal. AJ, good morning. Thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So the atmosphere is good, huh? Life's good. What's that like?
It sounded fun.
It sounded fun. Sounds like you guys are having a good time in Ottawa.
I feel for you guys because I've experienced some of what you've been through with the Sabres, partially from the last 7 years in Ottawa. But I also, like, I'm in Edmonton right now at my parents' place, and I spent about half of the quote-unquote decade of darkness covering the Oilers at that time as well. When they missed the playoffs 10 straight years.
They call it a decade of darkness, huh?
I've heard it referred to as that.
Yeah. We just over here call it the drought. But that's probably because we had one with the Bills. And just it's just the sequel to it. Yeah, yeah, the drought. Anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It just seems interminable in terms of when you go through 7 or 8 or 10 years of this, and so I can't even imagine what 14 years is. But, you know, from an Ottawa Senators perspective and a fan base perspective, they've been just dying for something, you know, meaningful games in March. That's what we heard for a few years. And then they got a handful a couple of years ago, and it lasted like 3 or 4 games right after the trade deadline. They picked up Jake Chychrun. They won 4 in a row, and then they went out west, and it started in Chicago and just got smoked, and then season over. So for them to be in the mix and really controlling their own destiny, fans are pretty pumped at what's going on.
Well, congratulations. We got you on in part, to talk about Cousins and Allmark and all that. But Josh Norris, I mean, the two pieces the Sabres got back in the trade, Josh Norris, who becomes immediate core piece for the Sabres, like he and Cousins in a swap of guys that make that much money and that much term, it's kind of rare in hockey. So what did not work out with Norris in Ottawa, and why will it work for the Sabres if you think it will?
I think combination of things. I think he was a really important player for the Ottawa Senators over the last few seasons and certainly a core piece, someone that fit right in, basically best friend of Brady Tkachuk, and a great goal scorer that scored 35 one year. But availability, I think, was the biggest issue with surgery on both shoulders multiple times on one side, and just I think the combination, not only of that, but the combination of availability but with both he and Shane Pinto was an issue. And the reality was Pinto, younger, cheaper, a little bigger, a little better defensively. So it just made sense. And you look at the slide this year when they lost five games in a row right before the Four Nations, that coincided with both of those players being out of the lineup. And you look at the last four seasons, just in terms of combined games played, it was 71, 90, 91, and this year 104. So this year, you know, has been the best in terms of availability of having both Pinto and Norris in the lineup. And there's, you know, a record where the Sens are about 20 games over 500 when all three of their centers play. That includes Tim Stützle as well. But when both of them were down at the same time, it was just a different team and someone, a team that just couldn't compete, as we saw right before the deadline when both of them were out of the lineup. So I think it was just one of those things where maybe they thought, well, if there's a deal like this on the table for someone similar term, similar money, you know, a center with maybe a little bit more size as well and younger and some pretty good upside, then why not bring him in and make this deal now rather than at the end of the season? Because I thought the one thing I thought was, okay, I like the move, but it's a little bit risky, especially with a team in the playoff hunt, playing well at the time of the deal, to make a move, shake up the core in the midst of a playoff chase. But as we've seen the last couple of games, team chemistry hasn't been affected too much. And I do like the move, just because of that availability factor.
What is, for a Sabre fan watching Norris, you would have seen his speed yesterday set up their game-winning goal. But in general, what to you is like the most eye-popping part of his game?
Just his ability to score on the half wall, on the power play. He can be absolutely lethal from the right-hand side on that power play. He's a good, solid player that, like, I don't think he's going to be a number one center in the NHL, but he's a good, real good number two. And, you know, a lot of centers are pass first. He's more of a shoot first guy. And man, he can really score, especially on the power play on the half wall. But one thing I really like in terms of his game is it seems a little bit more complete than when he joined the league. And he's playing with a little bit more jam as well. So I think he's added that to his repertoire. He's got, you know, a real high number of hits this year. So I think, look, when he's healthy, he's a really good player. And I think, you know, this was not an easy one for Ottawa Senators fans and certainly players to digest. I mean, Brady Tkachuk was emotional for a reason, along with other players like Tim Stützle, a real popular core player. But, yeah, if you're to say, okay, what's the one eye-popping thing about Josh Norris, man, he can really rip it from that right-hand side, especially on the power play.
And finally, AJ, quickly on Jacob Bernard-Docker, any thought there?
Yeah, I think he's an NHL defenseman. Again, probably a little bit slight in terms of what he brings, but is willing to block shots. And I think in the NHL today, you need 7-8 deep, and Bernard Docker, if asked to come in and play for the Ottawa Senators, was always a solid option. That was a group that probably just needed to be a little bit bigger, and that's where Nicholas Mattanpalo, who really emerged out of nowhere this past season, not just for Ottawa, but got the late call because of injuries to the likes of Miro Heiskanen and Rasmus Ristolainen, got to play for Finland at the Four Nations faceoff, and he was outstanding. So probably just brought a little bit more of what they needed on that right-hand side because that defense core as a whole was pretty light. So they had the opportunity to make a trade like this. And I think Buffalo's picking up a solid player. He's still only 24 years old, and I really like the way he moves the puck. So, yeah, I think you're getting a pretty solid guy that at the very least can be a depth piece, but certainly if he keeps progressing, could certainly be a solid third pairing guy.
Very good, AJ. Thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
All right, good luck to the Senators the rest of the season on their march to the playoffs.
AJ, go ahead.
AJ Jakubek of TSN 1200 in
Ottawa.
They're in the first wild card spot right now.
All right.
Up by 3 points on a playoff spot.
We'll get a break in Extendo Sports. If we have time in Extendo Sports, we'll get that phone call in, Dave, if you can hang. If not, Extra Point Show's coming up. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right.
There's a national high school sports scandal that should infuriate you.
All right.
Called stall ball. Did you know that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 states that do not have shot clocks in high school basketball? So, East High in Illinois held the ball the entire first quarter en route to an upset win over top-ranked Pecatonia in their sectional title game, sparking national outrage. Game last month, New Mexico wasn't much better. 4-2 was the final score, where both teams held the ball for all 10 minutes until there was 1 second left on the clock and then would shoot the ball at the buzzer.
Arrest the coaches.
Right? I think yes. There's video of it. They're just standing there. They are just standing there watching the clock tick.
I mean, my kids are four today. Happy birthday. If I were a parent of a league, of a team, whatever, a parent of a child on this team, I would forcibly remove the coach from the gym myself and take over. I would stage a coup. I would coach coup. Get out. We are not fools. I am the national outrage. I am outraged. It takes a lot to get me really not Look pretend it, outraged.
It's 6 minutes left, second quarter, 0-0. This guy's shooting free throws. And now they're still holding the ball. Dribble, 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 dribble. Go ahead, run
Arrest
the corner.
Arrest the coach. And everybody involved.
And also, if this has happened a couple times, I mean, put shot clocks in everywhere. Apparently you can't trust everybody to not do something.
I thought that was just a universal, you know what I mean? Rule, like, of basketball.
If a team, right, like if a team in high school basketball is up by four in the fourth quarter, then this underdog team, whatever, doesn't even matter, and the coach is a jerk, he just holds the ball for the whole fourth quarter, what are you supposed to do? You got to foul him with 13 minutes left?
Yes.
That gets really dumb really quick.
That is really dumb.
Stall ball, it's called.
It's horrid. What else? All right. We're light on time. It's going to be beautiful out today. Enjoy it. Hopefully the Bills sign some more players. Hopefully people aren't mad about the money that's spent. I'm thinking about my kink next year in fantasy football drafts is I'm going to be a person. I want to go to everybody's draft, and it's going to be an auction draft. I'm going to go to as many auction drafts as I can and sit in the corner and tell everybody they're just spending too much money. Oh, that's just too much for that guy. I'm sorry. That's
overpay.
Too much. That is half of free agency analysis. So just an overpay. Everybody's just too much money.
I wouldn't have wanted
all,
for that price.
You're all just too much. Everybody's selling for too much money. I'm going to do that all summer. I'm coming to all your fantasy drafts and telling all of you it's too much money. Then you'll look at me and be like, who would you sign? Like, oh, I don't have to sign anybody. I just think all of you are spending too much money. There you go. This is my tiny rant. All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.